This is former WWE referee Jimmy Corderas, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast with your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
All right, welcome to episode 14. This is another wrestling podcast. I know there are a dime a dozen today, but hey, we'll be number 13, I guess. I don't know, dime a dozen, 13. What do you think, Jonathan?
I think that I'd like to welcome everybody to listening to us for yet another week on another wrestling podcast. We have a very exciting show today, if I do say so myself.
That's right, Jonathan. This Friday, happening...
Friday.
Exactly. We need that. We definitely need that echo on there.
Friday.
We're having Airborne presented by Northeast Wrestling, Jonathan. And joining us on today's show is none other than Mike Bennett and Matt Sydal, formerly known as Evan Bourne. They'll be joining us in a few minutes.
Yeah, these are two guys. One is an amazing up-and-comer, and one is now back on the independent scene. And I am looking forward to everything that both of these guys do. I think that the sky's the limit for really both of them.
Definitely. And if you guys are listening to this right now and you're thinking about going to the show Friday, head on over there. It's in Waterbury, Connecticut, 8 p.m. But Jonathan, also, if you get there early, what's going to be happening for all the fans?
There's actually at 7:30, there's going to be a Q&A with Matt Taven, who is the newly crowned Northeast Wrestling Champion, and Matt Sydal. So you can come out there. You can ask them questions. You can talk about anything and everything. So get on out there early and definitely check out the Q&A.
Also, if you're going to be attending the show, make sure you check out the Waterbury Street Fight happening that night with Ron Zombie and Bull Dread versus Arrogation, Vlad and Dan Demand. That's going to be a crazy fight. I mean, Waterbury Street Fights, I don't know if you know this, Jonathan, have... they're pretty brutal. I don't know.
Yeah, Waterbury is known as a town where the weak and young are eaten. So I'm pretty sure that this is going to be just a dramatic street fight.
Definitely. And some of the other matches on there, we're going to have the rematch of Bandito Jr. versus Lucas Sharp. We're going to have Jimmy Preston versus Mark Sherman. These guys, I've just, you know, recently in my time watching these up-and-comers, you know, these guys are put on a great show. It's a great time for all, so make sure you head on over. Be sure to check out northeastwrestling.com. Get your tickets. If not, you can get them the day of at the door in Waterbury, Connecticut. But guys, check out the show, and it's going to be great.
Wow, I know what you guys are thinking. You're saying, how can I possibly get more another wrestling podcast? And I have the answer for you. If you're looking to find out more about us, more about upcoming shows, upcoming events, look no further than www.anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. It's your one-stop shop for everything AWP.
That's right, Jonathan. Instead of reading off all of our links, just go to the one link that matters. You can find all of our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all that fun stuff in one place. Subscribe to us, like us, poke us. Right, Jonathan? It's all there. AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com, guys. But joining us right now, we have none other than Matt Sydal, formerly known as Evan Bourne, here to talk to us a little bit about himself.
We have the former Evan Bourne and current Matt Sydal. Matt, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
So, Matt, on Friday, September 19th, you'll be making your second appearance for Northeast Wrestling. This event is entitled Airborne, and you will be facing the current Northeast Wrestling champion, Matt Taven. You wrestled him at Wrestling Under the Stars. It was a kind of a triple threat match, so this is going to be a little different. What's your strategy going to be, you know, like going into this match, especially now that the title's on the line?
Wow. Well, I mean, I feel like I earned myself a real quick title shot. And I think the name of the show reflects what's going to happen. I'll be up to my old ways. It'll be just like I've never been gone. I'll be right back there hitting Airborne on Matt Taven. Like, I think it's awesome wrestling a guy like him, who I've also seen in a lot of the ROH stuff that he's done. And it's And the guy's had some great matches, especially with Adam Cole, and I think he's got another one lined up against him coming up. So these are the kind of guys that I always want to be wrestling wherever I go. So this is one that I'm looking forward to.
Now, also, this was just added, so it's a little breaking news here. Prior to the show, a question-answer session's just been added. It's at 7:30 before the show. Fans can come and ask you and Matt Taven questions. With that being said, this kind of goes into what we're talking about here, but what's the strangest fan interaction that you've ever had?
What's the strangest fan interaction that I've ever had? That's a good question. You know, I've been pretty fortunate through having some really good fans. I'm trying to think of a really good and inappropriate fan story, but most of the time it's great. I mean, just there, I spent time at a lot of airports bright and early in the morning, but, you know, honestly, I was a kid that would holler at the Hardy Boys when they left the arena. So, like, you know, I kind of get it. Saying most of the fans are all right. So, luckily, you know, occasionally from a few guys that could use a shower, it's been pretty excellent.
Well, that's awesome. All right, great. So, you're currently making your rounds on the independent scene, obviously. What are the differences between the independents and the larger promotions you work for? Do you feel less restricted now? Like, do you feel like you can be more yourself?
Well, I never felt like I couldn't be myself when I was with WWE, but I certainly feel much more myself right now at the moment, personally. So therefore, I think it'll translate into my wrestling. You know, I found out when I wrestled at PWG at the Battle of Los Angeles tournament a couple weekends ago, I really felt like my heart was back in the game. And that for me was really important because, you know, when I go out there to wrestle, I really am putting my life on the line and I take it really seriously. But if I didn't go out there fully prepared to end my career that night, I wouldn't be worth going out there at all. I kind of fell back in love with wrestling again, and I can't wait to bring it to Matt Taven.
That's awesome. Now, we know that you're a pretty big music lover. What are you currently listening to these days?
Oh, excellent. Well, I mean, I guess everybody kind of likes music, but what I've found is that not too many people like the music I like to listen to. I've got a great reputation on the road as somebody whose music is not like the group jam session. That being said, I highly recommend a band I just started listening to called, Black Pistol Fire.
Okay.
Black Pistol, what the hell's their name? Black Pistol Fire. The song's called Hipster Shakes.
Okay.
That's the newest song I just downloaded. Oh my gosh, I could talk about music for way too long, but Hipster Shakes.
Now, do you have any plans to maybe get a new theme?
Oh, dude, you gotta hear it. Dr. Dog's Warrior Man. That's my new theme song. It's the theme song to my life.
That's okay? Awesome. So I also found out doing a little social media stalking that you are a fan of Wilco. Is this true?
Yeah. All in all being said, Wilco is my favorite band, like, of all time. I've gone to most of their concerts, more Wilco concerts than any other band, and just absolutely love it. Love Jeff Tweedy, the whole band. They're amazing.
Now, I mean, obviously, I don't know what to think about this because I also am a fan of Wilco. So I guess had I, you know, put in all the hard work, trained to become a wrestler, got famous, moved to Stanford, went to WWE, and, you know, somehow got paired up with you, we would have been fine on the road together. So, you know, I think that's good.
Yes, we could have definitely rocked out. Like, but you know what I mean? Like, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot is next. CD to try and get you from like Jackson, Mississippi to Lafayette, Louisiana at 3 a.m. It's just like for most people it's just not the CD for them, but you know, for me I could listen to that all the time. Their whole albums are so good, man.
Yeah, they're
can't get enough.
they're one of the few albums that I know of that you can just put the CD in and, like, you don't have to worry about, like, changing anything. So, big shout out to Wilco there. So,
dig it.
Now, we also, everybody kind of knows by now that you're on your way back to Ring of Honor as well.
Yeah.
Who are you looking forward to competing against in Ring of Honor? I mean, the faces have kind of changed. There's some new stars there, but there's also some mainstays. So, are there several that you're looking forward to mixing it up with?
Wow. I mean, I could start talking now and have a sentence and start naming guys' names, and I would run out of breath before I ran out of names. There's just so many guys that I want to wrestle, especially in Ring of Honor. That's one of the reasons I'm starting up there. I mean, first of all, you've got my first opponent who was just announced, I think, last night, and that's I'm facing AJ Styles at the Ring of Honor TV tapings in Wheeling, West Virginia on September 27th.
Yeah, that's worth the price of admission right there.
And all I'm having are these very big, important matches, and each one means, like, every time I go out there, I'm putting my heart on the line. Like, going up against AJ Styles, I hope expectations are extremely high, because for me, without the challenge of that, there's no point in getting in there. So I think AJ is possibly one of the best in the business right now, period. I mean, just look at he's IWGP champ. I mean, he's on top of the game. So, like, wrestling him is going to be that. It reminds me just like the first time I wrestled him for Ian Rotten at IWA Mid-South. And that was like the breakout match that made my career. And here we come, I guess probably 10 years after that match with AJ. We get to do it again. Oh, my God. I'm just so excited.
Yeah, I guess that's got to be one of the good things about being able to kind of go wherever now, is that you get these quote-unquote dream matches where you get to, get to go against some of these guys that you wouldn't have maybe got a chance to in WWE. So we're definitely looking forward to that match against AJ. So good luck.
Yeah, and thank you. And, things like that, getting to wrestle guys like AJ and Ricochet, Johnny Gargano, I even got to work Kenny Omega last weekend, who's always in Japan. Like, I'm so lucky to be able to wrestle these guys. But I can't say I'm not upset that I didn't get a chance to wrestle Cesaro on Monday Night Raw, and I didn't get a chance to wrestle Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose or do any more with Bryan than I did in WWE. Like, man, there's so many good guys there now. And, like, with Neville and Zayn debuting on Raw, like, on Monday, it's like, oh, my God, I missed out on those matchups, too, like, just by having that broken foot. So I'm going to have fresh matches for the rest of my life because there's such a pool of talent that whether guys are in WWE or on their way up or back or in between, or as long as they're in the wrestling world, whether they're a top star in Japan or in the States, these are the guys I want to be wrestling.
That's we're definitely looking forward to any of those matchups. And so you're from St. Louis, Missouri, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So since this is something that I don't feel like gets enough attention, is what is your favorite part about the Midwest?
Wow. I don't think I've ever been asked that question before.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I don't necessarily have a tangible answer. I mean, I have, of course, like, you have a very strong affinity for your hometown.
Yes.
But also, it holds up when I go all over the world. The way people act, like, where I grew up, when I see that in other cultures and other people, I see the admirable qualities that I saw back home. I see reflected in these other people all across the world. They do, like, certain things people just do for each other, and certain ways humans behave. That's pretty awesome, and I just, like, I notice the same trends that I see, where I grew up. When I see them in other cultures, they're, like, things I really think are awesome in people, like being honest, being genuine, following through when you say you're going to do something, just the things that you need to, like, qualities that seem very simple and basic, but are, when they're absent, you notice they're absent.
Yeah. Now, you were in OVW for a while, so that wasn't that big of a stretch for you going from, you know, St. Louis down to Louisville. But did you see like a big, you know, like culture shock with a lot of the people coming in that didn't necessarily know the way of the Midwest?
No. I guess I'll always remember Wade Barrett getting surprised by he got signed. Him and Drew got signed the same week that I did. So we all appeared at OVW like the same week as beginners. We were like the last new people at OVW, and he was like having to take a taxi from practice to his house because he didn't have a car yet, because he literally had just moved to America, you know, to become a WWE superstar. And of course I was like, hey man, let me just give you a ride, don't get a taxi. And I gave him a ride because that's just what you would do for anybody, especially somebody you might be working with in the future. I mean, he just didn't even like, I didn't even hesitate, I just, that's what I did. And he always is like, oh, that was such a nice thing. And I was like, no, that's just what people should do for everybody. Like, it's that to me is like not doing him a favor. That was just doing like what you would do for anybody else. And I mean, you know, just it's the simple things, but they always go a long way. And that's kind of what I look for in the people I surround myself with. Because even if you're not in a city with a bunch of, you know, amazing, awesome, inspiring people, you can find five to be around most of the time, and those five people, they influence you the most. So if you just keep a tight circle of like awesome people in your life, then it's basically like you can bring home with you anywhere you go.
Well, I'm from the Midwest as well, so that's why I've have a lot of Midwest questions, but I appreciate hearing that. And you know, there's a lot of people that meet wrestlers, or you know, they go to the shows and they always wonder if people are, you know, nice outside of the shows, and you know, obviously it definitely sounds like you are one of the good ones, so we definitely appreciate that.
No, you're so wrong. I'm rotten to the core.
Oh god.
Hard to deal with. I'm a pain in the ass. Trust me.
Okay. If you say so. Now I'm gonna go back a little bit here on something that I was very I was pretty happy about whenever it came across my television. Wrestling Society X. You were a part of that was on MTV.
Yeah.
Now, have you spoken with Lizzie Valentine lately?
No, I haven't spoken with her lately.
So I guess there's no plans to reunite then, since...
You never know. Okay. In wrestling, never say never. I mean, I'm sure she's still kind of somehow in wrestling. I don't know what she does now, but I'm sure she could, you know what I mean? She understood it already once. Might just jump right back in. You never know. I don't know. I don't necessarily feel like I need a valet or manager.
No,
it's too much of a wild card.
Yeah,
I'm tough to wrangle.
That's right. Now, you're a multi-time champion throughout many different promotions. We just talked about OVW, which was probably one of the best. You won the OVW Heavyweight Championship there. Is there one belt that you feel like has eluded you throughout your career that you really wish that you had a chance to have captured?
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, so, yes, there's a number of championships that I would like to win. I think in the immediate future, I want to become Dragon Gate champion, whether it's Open the Dream Gate or Open the Brave Gate champion. I have my eyes on both those. As well as, I would like to become a trios tag champion there. I think one of my specialties is a six-man tag match. I just love them. So it would be like a huge honor to be like the six-man champ of the place that does it best. And then, I mean, I want to get into the Best of the Super Juniors next year and win that. I want to become WWE United States and Intercontinental Champion, possibly Heavyweight Champion. So I've got, there's a litany of belts and championships. Oh my gosh. And if I don't get a single title in Ring of Honor in the next year, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, that's on my immediate list of goals. I mean, I might do television champion or Ring of Honor world champion, either one, both of those belts. I need to have them. I mean, Ring of Honor is where I started. but I never feel like I finished the job there. I feel like I got swept up, like I was like a fruit that was picked slightly premature, and I didn't get a chance to fully blossom in Ring of Honor, and I think now is the time for me to be that ripe fruit, ready, juicy, wonderful, delicious, awesome entertainment, and hopefully a future Ring of Honor champion.
You really painted a picture there. I'm sure that all the listeners are really excited about you being picked at the right time now.
Yeah, and I hope they love apples as much as I do.
You hear that? Anybody that's going to see Evan Bourne, Matt Sydal, please bring him apples. He would really appreciate
any fresh fruit's fine. But any fresh fruit's fine.
Absolutely. A nice fruit basket he would really enjoy. Like the edible arrangements, even.
Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh. Send him to every building.
Yes, please. Send him there. Anybody who's bringing him in, just know that that's on his rider. He wants fresh fruit. So you've been warned.
Yeah. And just know, I mean, I'll share my pineapple with the Briscoe brothers. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to just keep this stuff to myself.
No,
spread the wealth around. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Make sure all my friends get some grapes, some watermelon, some cantaloupe.
Now, when you were in WWE, we've heard this a lot from different people, and they always talk about the glass ceiling there. Do you feel like when you came in, did you ever feel that there was a predetermined glass ceiling that you had to try to get through, or do you feel like that most people just, you know, they kind of use that later on down the road, like they couldn't get through this ceiling no matter how hard they tried?
Well, I can only speak for myself. I never felt the glass ceiling. The only ceiling that was imposed was the one I imposed on myself. I was encouraged to do exciting stuff. I was encouraged to, you know, to put, you know, smiles on fans' faces. I was encouraged to be an awesome part of the show. I was never, ever told, like, hey, whoa, come on. We don't need to be doing that kind of stuff. I can remember a few times getting encouraged to do more. I felt like I had an opportunity. Maybe my timing wasn't the greatest. Like, it was kind of a growing phase for WWE, and it just didn't work out perfectly this time. But there's certainly plenty of open doors in the future. But right now, like, I love watching NXT play out. Like, you know, I cared a lot about what was going on in NXT my last couple years in WWE since I wasn't on the road. I was able to, you know, always be up there doing training and rehabbing on my foot. So it's cool to see what's going on there now.
Absolutely. Now, we've heard recently that as a parting gift, they bestowed upon you the network for $9.99 a month. What do you think the quintessential Evan Bourne moment will be that lives on? I'm just talking prior. I'm sure there's going to be many more, but like up to right now, what is the Evan Bourne moment that everybody will see on the network?
Well, the one that people are going to see, or the one that I would like them to see.
Well, give us both, because I think I know where you're going with the one that people are going to see.
Yeah, everybody's going to see the Shooting Star KO.
Yes.
Which is awesome. I love it. It's fantastic. But clearly, that is kind of like, if you want to see a snapshot of my career, it's right there. Not that that's a knock on myself, but that would be a kind of an apt pictorial of what happened to me in wrestling, but you know, it's not the worst, and it's not the worst result. Just sometimes you get RKO'd, and sometimes you hit your finish. That time I just happened to get hit with the finish. Yeah, you don't get to see me getting my payback at the pay-per-view because nobody bought the thing, but I did hit Randy with a Shooting Star off the ladder that nobody saw. So go back to whatever TLC pay-per-view that was back in whatever year, I don't know, but you know, I got my payback, right? You know what I mean? I got my payback.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, that's all that matters too.
Sure.
Now speaking of your finish, which is an amazing move to see live and on television, knowing what you know now, would you have chosen a different finish since you basically have to do it about 300 plus times a year?
No, I don't. I mean, if there was anything that could compare to it, like, I always think of new moves. I just, like, you know, my creative juices are always flowing, so I'm thinking of new moves, new ideas, all sorts of stuff. I've never thought of anything better than the shooting star press for a finisher. There's nothing more dangerous, more exciting, more, like, it's dramatic, and I'm really proud of doing it. So, no, there's nothing I would rather do. There's nothing I ever want to do if I'm forced to, you know, decentralize my approach to the finisher. I have great roll-ups and a good backslide. But until then, it's going to be shooting star press all day.
That's awesome. Now, we kind of spoke in briefly about some of the new talent that WWE has. We have Kevin Steen just went there, Devet, Kenta. Who do you, and you're back, we said, on the independent scene. Who do you think the next big breakout star will be?
Man, I've never heard of any of those jobbers.
Oh, I know. I just found them. I typed in, you know, NXT, and all of a sudden their names are up there. I haven't really...
Yeah. No way. Trust me. There's enough talent in NXT to literally have a complete third brand that toured independently on a smaller scale. Like, there's no reason why those shows can't sell tickets that make money if they're on TV and if they're online. For the fans who care, like, for the fans really interested, I mean, you're not going to see anybody come to WWE that doesn't make a wave in NXT first. So it's like, you would be silly to not be checking it out. And the fact that it's different and it's its own animal, it's its own beast, gives it, like, a great freedom, and you see it differently, and it's really fun. I've got, like, a lot of faith in what goes on up there. You know, as being somebody who's at OVW, then FCW, then seen NXT, I mean, I think it's a continual drive towards improving. They've been improving the developmental system the whole time, and now they're at this incarnation of it, and I think they're going to get pretty good benefits from it, as already evidenced by the, you know, by guys that are up on Monday Night Raw now, and the guys that just appeared on Monday last week.
One person that I've hoped would debut soon, but apparently there's been some issues. Do you have any thoughts on the former Sami Callihan, current Solomon Crowe?
Oh, yeah. He's just another guy who I just missed when it came to independence and WWE crossover. When I was working around the NXT guys a lot, he was one of the guys that I was thinking about, you know, writing programs for and trying to figure out a way to work with him in the ring. Because his in-ring work is great, and he's also got a great attitude and character, and he just brings a unique style to the ring, and I love guys that have found a amped-up portion of themselves that they can do in the ring that's different than what everybody else does.
Now, with all that being said, you've answered a few of my questions already. You obviously spent quite a bit of time at NXT, and did you get much time at the new Performance Center?
Yeah, I mean, they were very welcoming to me. They knew that I was working through a foot injury, and I was trying to stay limber and ready if I did get a call from WWE to go back on the road. I was ready because I got the chance to go work out at the NXT Performance Center, and, I mean, just... whether I would just take a class, like, you know, in the afternoon and work out, or I could get one-on-one time with the coaches if they felt like donating extra time to me, even though they're there for, like, 24 hours a day. I mean, it's just cool to be a part of it. And, like, you know, I feel like there's a lot of opportunities I could have had in NXT. And so maybe they'll be there in the future. And if not, I might be a little busy becoming Ring of Honor World Champion. So, you know, where things are going forward for me is not necessarily in those NXT rings just yet.
Okay. So now we're going to wrap this up with one of my favorite things to do here. It's what I like to call the same thing that everybody else calls it, the lightning round. We're going to just throw out some things, and these don't have to be lengthy answers. They can be if you want. If not, then you know, just hit us with a couple of things that, you know, whatever comes to mind. So if I was to say to you, best cruiserweight ever, you would say?
Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio. you had some great matches with him. And do you feel that he's been – do you think he's done with WWE, or do you think that he's still got some time there?
Not. I'm going to just say that this isn't your best lightning round ever, because I thought it was supposed to be a quick thing.
But, yeah, I'm going to say
– no, I'm just messing with you. I'm giving you a hard time. Rey Mysterio's tenure with WWE, I have no clue. I'm not I'm not privy to any information on that. All I know is that he's the greatest of all time.
Okay, that's great with me. This is a two-parter. Your favorite match of all time that you weren't in, and your favorite match of all time that you were in.
All right, favorite match that I wasn't in, I'm going to say Tajiri versus Super Crazy, like, Mexican death match. I think I did it like 2 out of 3 falls or something. Anyway, that was an awesome match.
You got it.
And then favorite match that I was in, my match against Chris Hero at Bola.
Okay.
Last week.
All right.
Because I never like any of my matches, so that's my most recent. So I'll live with it till my next one, which better be better, and then my one after that better be better as well.
Okay, favorite pastime.
Favorite pastime?
Yeah, I know.
I don't live in the past, I live in the now.
Oh, wow, there you have it. Best wrestler today?
Ooh, that's a good question. Best wrestler today? AJ.
Okay.
Styles.
AJ Styles. And last but not least, a few short goals that you have.
First of all, don't call me short. If you call me short again, I will hang up the phone on you.
This is going south in a hurry.
A few short goals, eh? What, a little guy can't have big dreams? I laid it out for you, but you know, I just want my short-term goal to just have my body of work reflect what's going on, and just give people their money's worth every time they pay to see me, which means the most to me because I used to sit in the crowd just like everybody else, scrounge together gas money to go to shows. So every time I show up at any venue, anywhere, I'm giving everybody their money's worth. In my match alone, the rest is going to be icing on the cake. And then eat your cake, have it, and eat it too. All of the above, that's short-term goals.
Well, we definitely appreciate you coming on our show, another wrestling podcast. Just so you are aware, everybody's listening right now, Friday, September 19th, you will be making your appearance at Airborne at Waterbury, Connecticut. You can go online, northeastwrestling.com, for that. You will also be, this is probably a little breaking news as well, maybe you don't even know about this, but November the 14th in a little town called Danbury, Connecticut, you will also be appearing for Northeast Wrestling. So if you haven't got your Evan Bourne, Matt Sydal fix, it's coming, and be sure to bring the fruit, like we said earlier.
Yeah, it's really important that you guys follow me on Instagram, Matt, M-A-T-T, Sydal, S-Y-D-A-L, M-A-T-T-S-Y-D-A-L. That's my Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter, at Find Evan, but I do use Instagram more, at least I'm trying to. But you guys will enjoy it, and that's a great way to find out where I'll be, so you can bring me fruit baskets, and we can all be friends.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be the strangest thing that you've probably heard, and this is probably next time that someone says, what's the strangest fan interaction you've ever had, you can say this. On a day not too long ago, I looked on your Instagram, and it said, it had a picture of you in a dentist chair, and you were getting a root canal. Now, that doesn't seem that strange, except for the fact that on the same day, at about the same time, I was also in the dentist chair getting a root canal. So, there you have it.
It's quite serendipitous. It's remarkable.
Everything has led me to this moment in my life right now, and I can't thank you enough for it.
I love it. Wonderful. Well, thank you for the letting me be on your podcast, and let's do it again whenever I'm in the area.
Anytime, and I'll definitely be talking to you soon. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
All right, man.
Wow, that was an amazing interview. We're so lucky to have Evan Bourne on the show today. Be sure that if you do go out to the show and bring him some fruit, that you tell him that you heard him on another wrestling podcast.
That's right, Jonathan. What a great guy. I mean, he's unfortunately, you know, due to injury and stuff, we didn't get to see too much of him in the WWE. And it's a shame, really, because, I mean, you would consider him like in a cruiserweight class, right?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think if you look back as far as the cruiserweights, you know, their origins in Japan, the New Japan Wrestling, all that, he would have fit in very well there. And as a matter of fact, you know, he did go over to Japan, and I think that he's probably one of the better cruiserweights to have been on the scene in the past, you know, 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, I always talk about it with friends and stuff too, to like, I really wish he would make a comeback, because I mean, some of the guys nowadays, I mean, even Daniel Bryan, even, you know, Tyson Kidd, where they had Mystico, you know, or, well, not Mystico anymore, but Sin Cara, you know what I mean? Like some of these younger guys, to where I really don't like seeing them mix it up with heavyweights, you know what I mean? And what were the requirements? It was like, what, 220 pounds it was up to or something like that?
Yeah, and I think when WWE took it over, they said it was around like 215 pounds. Okay. But I mean, you know, it's right around there. And that was pretty much the only requirement, is your weight. So that left a lot of people able to be a cruiserweight. So I think the greatest thing for me as a fan, I really didn't see the stuff from Japan. I didn't get to see a lot of, you know, the stuff from Mexico, but I did get to see it when it started to come over to America and cross the borders. And really, I give credit to ECW for that. So, I mean, you remember seeing a lot of great matches with Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Dean Malenko. I mean, even back then, I think Chris Benoit was considered a cruiserweight, and Chris Jericho.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, watching them even on WCW, I think that was one of the big advantages they had against WWE, is that they were showcasing these lighter guys, more crazy in style. And I think that's what made WWE, you know, bring back like their light heavyweight championship. You know, I mean, I don't know. It was so fast paced. It was so good to watch. It was so different than what you were seeing on WWE at the time. And even I think you can kind of classify that now with what TNA did when they first started coming up, to where they had, you know, the X division, that it was, you know, fast paced cruiser weight ish, you know, guys doing a lot of stuff, even though you wouldn't consider Samoa Joe a cruiserweight or in an X division. But you know what I mean? It was kind of like that style, and it was different. I kind of miss it, Jonathan. I don't know about you guys out there too, but I miss seeing these classification of cruiserweight guys, you know?
Yeah, I think that that's some of the things that are still, you know, that we're still missing, is the fact that we know that people are paying to see John Cena. We know that people are paying to see, you know, Bray Wyatt. These are the bigger guys, but you know, there's a lot of people that are paying to see that wrestling, and that's where you can kind of find it in its most pure form, is with these cruiserweights. So, you know, I'm a big fan of it. I definitely think that maybe even, you know, instead of having just like NXT champion and all that stuff, because Adrian Neville I would consider a cruiserweight, Sami Zayn I would so like maybe give them the cruiserweight championship down there. And then they can defend it every now and then on Raw or, you know, yeah, whatever. I'm a big fan of that. I have to ask you, do you remember the, like, Kai and Tai invasion during the Attitude Era?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I was before you begin to Kai and Tai, I was there for the crowning light heavyweight championship match between Taka Michinoko and Brian Christopher at Degeneration X in your house.
Hey, that is too sexy, Brian Christopher, to you.
Oh yeah. Well, I was there for the inauguration, or the you know, the resurrection of the light heavyweight championship in the WWE, and you know, I was still young watching it, and I was there live for it, and you know, I know I kind of cut you off with your with what you were going to go with, but I had to at least bring that up maybe.
No, that's great. I think that when WWF at the time finally got the ball rolling with their light heavyweight cruiserweight title, I think it was amazing. They had, like I mentioned, Taka Michinoku and Kai and Tai. You had X-Pac that was coming back from, you know, his stint in WCW. Matt Hardy, Shane Helms, Hurricane, Jamie Noble. I mean, these guys were putting on probably the best matches of the night on the card. And that's, like I said, those guys are hungry. They're young talent, and that's what I want to see. So
yeah,
I don't know how to – I don't know if we just send a letter via snail mail or how it happens. But
yeah, maybe we could make like our own, you know, petition or something to bring it back. But okay, so here's a question to you. Would you consider the cruiserweight, the light heavyweight champion, whatever you want to call it, would you consider WWE's version, the champion, equal to the WWE champion? Now, hear me out to where, you know, the light heavyweight champion is the top in their class, and then the WWE champion is the top in that class or the whole company? Because, I mean, when we talked to Hurricane Helms, you know, I asked him this question, and you can check that out. I believe it's on episode 2 or 3. I forget which one, but make sure you check it out. And I asked him the question, what does he think about bringing back the light heavyweight championship? And he said, you know, it wouldn't work today because they mix the guys up too much. You know, you can't mix the cruiserweights with the heavyweights and the heavy. And he says, like, no other place does it. Not even like MMA. You know, you can't mix any of these weight divisions together, or else it just loses its, you know, authenticity. And that's what's the problem nowadays. Now, if you brought it back too, you know, classify these guys that all they can win is the light heavyweight championship, or do you do something kind of like what TNA is doing, to where that X division champion can challenge for the championship or something like that down the line? Do you think that's kind of cool what TNA was doing with that, or no?
Yeah, I think that, like, with WWE, like I said, if you had something exclusive to NXT where those people, that was the only belt, then that would kind of take care of your class system there. So you could say that it's only ever defended on NXT. And then, you know, people could come down to NXT and challenge, but they had to meet the certain requirements or whatever. But then, you know, those people are freed up later on to maybe challenge. But it doesn't have to be so strict, but I just think that it gives those guys, because if you look at, you know, say Sami Zayn gets called up to the main roster, they're not looking at him as a heavyweight champion. The best that I see that they're going to give him in the near future would possibly be like the Intercontinental Championship. So why not get rid of the United States Championship?
Yeah.
Do whatever you want, but give it to a class of guys that are going to be putting on the most entertaining matches of the night. That's what I see.
Definitely. I agree with you. I mean, like, a lot of the question is too, is that, you know, people say, oh, there's too many championships, there's too many this and that. And that's fine. I agree with you. Get rid of the United States Championship. That's pretty much the Intercontinental Championship, because you're intercontinental. I know there's special definitions for what that title means, and you can look it up for yourself. And it's kind of funny, but that's the thing, is they gotta make these titles more division-esque, to where, you know, you have the light heavyweights or the cruiserweights, and then you have the mid-card guys for the IC belt, then you have your heavyweights for the WWE championship, but also cross-promoting it to where only the champion could then maybe challenge for the championship, just to spice it up a bit. And I don't know, I talk about it passionately because I would really love to see it come back, and I'm just afraid that I don't think it's going to come back anytime soon, unless we do start a petition, Jonathan.
All I have to say is that in my lifetime it had better come back, because the last WWE cruiserweight when they vacated in 2007 was Hornswoggle. So someone, for the love of God, please just bring it back, even if just it's for one night, just so somebody else can win it.
Seriously. And have you seen that midget's butt? There's no way he was under 220 pounds.
Oh my God, I have nightmares.
That ass has at least 120 pounds on it alone. But I don't know. I don't even know if I'm going to keep that line. But
no, it's fine.
But anyway, I mean, we could talk about cruiserweights all night, Jonathan. I mean, it's such a good topic, because, I mean, a lot of these guys today, without the steroid use that was so big in the 80s and 90s, big in these, you know, making these monsters of a wrestler, you know, a lot of these guys are actually doing legit wrestling, and a lot of them are cruiserweights. You know, a lot of them are light heavyweights, and there's no problem with that. Would you even classify Neville as a cruiserweight?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he awesome. Yeah, he's awesome at what he does, and it's like he doesn't need to be the champion, because honestly, there's too many guys to be pushing for that title. I would love to see him be the cruiserweight champion, and I don't know. That's just me.
No, and I mean, quite honestly, other than like the Ascension and a few others, I feel like that almost the entire NXT roster would or could be considered cruiserweight. So they're putting on, quite frankly, the most entertaining hour of sports entertainment, and everyone keeps talking about NXT, and I mean they could definitely benefit from having a show like an exclusive title. Forget the heavyweight championship, forget the tag team championships, just give them the cruiserweight title.
Yeah, sure. And like we just talked with Evan Bourne too. Do you wish we would have gotten more out of him? I mean, unfortunately, you know, he left early due to injury, and then they just really didn't know how to bring him back in, kind of, I would say. But I would have loved to have seen more out of him. I know he's a great wrestler, great high flyer. Do you think, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, but, you know, it ended up having to do with him being released, and, you know, we just didn't really get that chance. Would you like to see him actually come back and showcase more?
Yeah, and I think that he's going to go around now and fight some fights that he's maybe been looking forward to. He's mentioned a few people that he can't wait to lock horns with, so I think that it's only going to make him a better wrestler, and when he goes back to the WWE, which inevitably he probably will, he'll be better for it, so...
Well, there's more than just cruiserweights out there, though, Jonathan. We're about to speak to Ring of Honor star, also Northeast Wrestling star, Mike Bennett, who's joined us recently for a little interview. We got to ask him a few questions and talk to him a little bit about his career and whatnot. So here's Mike Bennett.
Mike, thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Big year for you, yeah. 2014.
It's been good.
Can you take us through a little bit of 2014? Just how's it been so far?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess 2013 ended kind of a career high because I had a really cool match with Kevin Steen, and it was a pleasure to be in the ring with him because, you know, I've known him since I started with Ring of Honor, and me and him always pitched ideas back and forth that we wanted to do stuff together, and they were always just like, well, whatever. And then finally with the whole BJ thing happening, Kevin pitched this idea to me about the pile drive, and I was like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. And we pitched it to Ring of Honor, and they did it, and we were like, oh, awesome. So we went with that, and then we had the stretcher match at Final Battle, which is one of my favorite matches in wrestling. And then from there, 2014 just kind of took off. It just, and Ring of Honor in particular has taken off, but I, you know, me and Maria and Adam Cole and sometimes Matt Hardy kind of formed this alliance known as the Kingdom. Not kind of, we did form his alliance, and which has been cool because Adam, we were actually just talking about this when we were in Japan last weekend. A lot of people don't know that me and Adam have kind of taken the whole Ring of Honor wrestling journey together. We both got each other signed in Dark Match. We wrestled the Dark Match, got each other signed that same day. Then both our contracts came up. We both went to the WWE tryout together, wrestled each other in a match in the WWE tryout. Both decided to stay with Ring of Honor after that, and then we formed this alliance together, and then we went to Japan together. So it's kind of like we literally have gone the whole way together, and now both our contracts are coming up in December, and it's like, so yeah, a lot of, but you know, more importantly, it's just been nice to see him win the title. Then we formed this alliance with him known as the Kingdom, and we've kind of been taking over the main event scene at Ring of Honor, which is a dream of mine. So hopefully next is the Ring of Honor world title.
Absolutely. Now, you stay grounded by going to a lot of these independent shows.
Right.
You were at Wrestling Under the Stars. We're here now in Bethany, Connecticut. How important is independent wrestling to you?
It's everything, I guess. It's where I made my name for myself. Without independent wrestling, I would have, it was never an odd, like, to me, I just wanted to wrestle from the time I was 12. I was like, I'm going to be a wrestler. And there was so many independent companies around New England that, to me, that was the only way. Like, I never thought, like, oh, I have an athletic background, I'll just send stuff to WWE and see if they'll send me to development. It was always independent wrestling, pay your dues, do this and that. And, like, it's actually nice now that independent wrestling has taken a turn where bigger companies are paying attention to what we are doing and saying, okay, this is like the territories, because there's independent companies all over the country and we're producing stars like Kevin Steen and Adam Cole and Generico and the Young Bucks, like guys who are like myself and the Young Bucks who are making a living doing this, which was never heard of before. Unless you were a recently released WWE guy, you could come and make money on the indies. Now you can actually, you can go to Japan, you can stay in Ring of Honor, which is not really an indie, but build a name through Ring of Honor to build a bigger name on the indies. So the indies are everything to me.
Now, you just mentioned New Japan Pro Wrestling. It was your first trip.
Right.
How did that go for you?
It was a time of my life. I never expected to ever go over there, and now it's the only thing I want to do. Like, I had so much fun over there. We had the best time over there. They treated us like royalty. It was just such a good trip. Wrestling in the Saibu Dome in front of almost 20,000 people, wrestling Liger and Captain New Japan. I mean, it's Liger. You're wrestling Liger in a baseball stadium in front of 20,000 people. Like, the little kid in me was standing on the ramp being like, all right, you're a badass. You're a badass. No, you're not. That's Liger. So it's like, it was just such a good trip, and they took such good care of us.
Okay, so now we're going to try to do a little bit of just like word association. So
all right. I like word
association. One word.
I'm going to go with whatever pops in my head right away. I'm not even going to think.
Okay. WWE.
Top Dog.
Matt Taven.
Underrated.
Maria.
Beautiful.
TNA.
That's a hard one. My friends are there, so I want to see them do well.
Okay. And I think lastly I had Mike Bennett.
The next big thing. That's Brock Lesnar.
No.
He's already been the big thing.
So wrestling is all about, you know, being in shape, looking good. Well, for most people. Looking good, always trying to improve. Like, what do you think that you can still improve on to be the best pro wrestler that you can be?
Everything. I always, a little game I play with myself is I take two guys who I think are at the top, like someone who I think are the best in wrestling ever. So you look at someone like Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels, and then I compare them to myself and say, I'm not even close to them. So it's a constant struggle and a constant motivation to be like, that's Shawn Michaels. Until you're that good, you got to get better. So I don't compare themselves to me like, oh, I'm good. I look at it and say, I'm not as good. And then I even look at guys who are in Ring of Honor. I look at guys like Adam Cole, and then I look at guys like AJ Styles who they bring in, and I'm like, I got to get there. So it's a constant, way of putting people in front of you in a way to say, I got to reach that and then surpass them. So it's kind of like a game. You say, that guy's good. In a good way, I'm going to compete with them.
Okay. Just a couple more questions.
Sure.
There's a lot of talk about the different eras of professional wrestling.
Right.
There's the golden era, the attitude era, ruthless aggression, and lastly, like the reality era.
Right.
If you could hop into a time machine, do you find yourself, you think that you would be better in one of those than the other, or?
You know, I don't know, because I'm being successful now in this era, but I mean, from the little kid inside of me, I grew up on the Attitude Era, and that was like, I still go home at night and put on the Attitude Era pay-per-views and just watch them for nostalgia reasons. And when I watch it, I'm like, well, the wrestling's kind of eh, but the characters in it are so good. And to me, I'm just like, oh, this is fun. You know, you have Austin and The Rock and Triple H and Mankind. It's just, that to me was fun. That's when wrestling I thought was the most fun. But right now, it's like, I think from a performance standpoint and a wrestling, like, in the ring athleticism standpoint, wrestling's at its peak. So I'm kind of happy where I am. It's fun right now.
We recently did an interview with Matt Taven. He went as far as to say that you were the nicest guy in professional wrestling.
My cover.
Well, I was hoping that you could maybe not be so nice and just say anything bad about anybody. It can be a bus driver that used to,
so hard for,
you know, a kid that picked on you in high school.
God, who can I pick on? I don't know.
I mean, if you can't come up with anything, then it is true.
I don't get mad unless I'm in the ring and I'm a character, but I don't. It takes a lot for me to get mad, because 9 times out of 10, I'm just like, what's the point? If I get mad, then that person got the best of me. So, and then I'm just like, I'm just going to go talk to Maria, because she's awesome.
I don't know how you can be mad.
Exactly.
Obviously.
You have Maria at your side, and I'm just like, I'm not going to be mad. I can't. I just can't be mad.
Now, lastly, you've kind of mentioned it, but I don't know. Do you have the network?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I love it.
For $9.99. What do you watch on the network?
I watch all the pay-per-views. Like, I constantly just, like, last night, we got home from Ring of Honor at 6 in the morning. And for whatever reason, I said to myself, I really want to watch Stone Cold versus Kurt Angle. So I went to SummerSlam, I think it was 2001, and I just, you know what the reasoning was I was like, I love Stone Cold's heel work near the end of the Attitude Era when he was with the Alliance and stuff like that, because I thought it was just awesome. I don't think he gets enough credit for him as a heel. He was so goofy, but yet so vicious, and I was like, how the hell did he do that? And that match I love because he literally kicks the crap out of Kurt Angle for most of that match. And the reason I like it is because the return match, when I think Kurt wins the title from him the next pay-per-view, it's completely opposite. He brought out this aggressive side of Kurt Angle, so now Kurt Angle gets 75% of the match. And I love that storytelling of, well, here's the new guy, Kurt Angle, and the happy-go-lucky American, and here's the badass Stone Cold beating the crap out of him. But then Austin brought something out of him in that match. So the return match, Kurt just wipes the mat with him. And I just, it's one of my favorite, the angle they did. It's just so cool. So for whatever reason, that popped in my head last night. I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch it. And she's trying to sleep next to me and going, can you turn that down? I'm trying to sleep. It's 6 a.m. and we got to go to a show tomorrow. So, yeah.
So, I mean, with that, I mean, I guess it's a new tool. Whereas before people had like VHS collection or DVD.
YouTube.
But now like people like you are obviously, it's a teaching tool.
It's great.
So,
it's awesome.
That's great. I think that's about all we have. All right. Thank you definitely for being on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Podcast.
I appreciate it.
Good luck in everything.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
What a great guy, Jonathan. Mike Bennett was great. I hope to see more of him. I mean, he's great in Ring of Honor. He's great at any show he goes to, especially at Northeast Wrestling. Make sure you guys head on out to Northeast Wrestling this Friday night in Waterbury, Connecticut. It's a must-not-miss show for the Northeast Wrestling fans. Right, Jonathan?
Absolutely. There's so much going on with Northeast Wrestling. This is just going to be another great show. And I'm pretty sure that Matt Taven and Evan Bourne, the former Evan Bourne, is going to steal the show.
Definitely. It's going to be a great time, so we hope to see you out there. But, Jonathan, this Sunday, we also have something else big going on.
Sunday.
Well. If I could catchphrase that from Mr. Joel Gertner, who will be joining us this Sunday live, Jonathan. We are doing a live show from Wrestling Spectacular 3D. It's at 128 Dulson Avenue in Middletown, New York. Doors open at 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be the first public appearance of U.S. Army Sergeant Chris Melendez. Proceeds are going to be going to the Wounded Warrior Project, guys, so make sure you come on out. None other are you going to see just Chris Melendez. You're also going to be graced by the presence of Team 3D, Bully Ray and D-Von, formerly known as the Dudley Boys. They're going to have also, Jonathan, in attendance, in the crowd, the beautiful people in the ring gear. First time ever you're going to be able to meet the beautiful people in the ring attire. So make sure you come on out. There's going to be a list of other names that are going to be there. And just to name a few, we have the whole effing show, Rob Van Dam. We got Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, former WWE superstar, Road Warrior Animal. Val Venus is going to be there. Big Van Vayner, Tony Atlas, X-Pac, Bobby Lashley, the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Ezekiel Jackson. Sonny will be there. Greg the Hammer Valentine. The list goes on, Jonathan. Make sure you check out WrestlingSpectacular.com. Jonathan, it's going to be a great time. We're going to be live. So how can you listen to us live, Jonathan, you ask?
Oh, a live show, you say, Credo? How would fans listen to that?
Well, funny thing you asked, Jonathan. If you head on over to AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com on Sunday, if you don't make it, but you should make it in attendance to the show because it's going to be a great autograph signing, a great meet and greet. But anyway, if you can't make it and you want to listen in, see what's happening live, go to AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com. On the top of our page, we will be streaming live. You might have to click play, but if you just go to the website, you'll see it at the top. It'll say live, listen now. Click it. You'll be hearing us live from the show. It's going to be a great time. And if you don't go on the website during the day, if you got your smartphone and you're out, you can download the Mixlr app. That's M-I-X-L-R. Look for it on your smartphone. I have an iPhone, so just go to your app store. Type in Mixlr, M-I-X-L-R, download it, search for Another Wrestling Podcast. You can stream us on your phone. Just check us out. I mean, worst case you forget, just go to AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com. And joining us that day is none other than Joel Gertner, which we mentioned. He will be talking with us live, streaming over the airwaves. It's going to be a great time. So, guys, make sure you check it out. Right, Jonathan?
Absolutely. Come by, say hi to us. You know, listen to all of our past interviews. And, you know, who knows, maybe you could make it onto one of our future interviews.
That's right, Jonathan. And, guys, till next week, you're listening to...
Another Wrestling Podcast.